I've got Colin Carter on the line, who is the president of the Geelong Cats. Hello, Colin.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you, Colin?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you indisposed in your car? It's very kind of you to find the time to come on the program.
That's okay. I've got both my hands on the steering wheel. I'm fine, thank you.
Ah, you've got, you know, hands-free, you've got equipment and all that, have you?
I have, and as soon as I get out of this tunnel, I mean, I'll pull over in any case, but I've got, it's all hands-free, so I think I'm in good shape.
We can hear you anyway, Colin, even in the tunnel. Now, we've got all sorts of things happening this year. The first thing I want to know is, do you think that the Cats will be going into the season as favourites for the flag?
Well, we hope not. Some people, in fact, I don't think we are favourites. I think, not that I'm not a betting person, but I understand that the Collingwood is rated, Collingwood and Hawthorn, or Collingwood is certainly rated number one, but I think we would hope that we're, I think we regard ourselves as contenders, but I'd hope we don't go in as favourites.
Too much pressure, is it?
Well, I just think it's, you know, it's a pretty tough competition. You require a little bit of luck at the end of the year, and I think for anybody to, the favourites tend to have no more chance of getting up than two or three other teams. I think there are probably always three or four teams that are in contention. That's what we hope to be.
Well, as a member and as a supporter for half a century or something, I can understand your point of view, but I can't see how anyone can actually claim to be more likely to win the flag than the Cats at this stage.
That's probably true. Last year we were very happy, though, to be below the radar.
Yeah.
Much harder for us to be below the radar this year, but we'll try.
Yes. Okay. Now, where are we with other things less emotional, such as the Doug Wade Stand, which is in the process of being dismantled? Is that going to disrupt the ground for the whole season?
Well, it will do. It'll be a massive, great big hole in it, and it'll be an inconvenience to our members and supporters who have been sitting there. But what will come at the other side of that will be much better. And so, like all good things in life, you've got to wait a bit. There's no doubt in our mind that this will enhance the stadium. It's part of the whole renewal of it, which is important, increasing our capacity a bit and certainly improving the quality of the experience. So, yes, there'll be disruption, but as with the other stands we've built, it will be all worthwhile at the other end.
Okay, now, last season, what was the capacity at Skilled Stadium, as we called it then?
Around about 33, but it's a bit of a rubbery figure because it depends on standing room and things like that.
Yeah.
This one will not increase it massively. I mean, one of the paradox of modern stadium developments that you renew your stadium, but rather than people crammed in on wooden benches and assuming that they're all 3 inches shorter than they were 50 years ago, there's more room allocated per person. So this stand will give us about another 1,500 or so seats. The number moves around slightly according to a couple of final design considerations, but it's mostly improved comfort for the 12,000 people who are down that end of the ground and some increase in capacity.
Okay. Now, as far as I'm concerned, we can put as many new stands and increase the capacity as much as we like, but Cadidia Park, because of its very construction and size of the ground itself, will always remain somewhat like going to a country football match compared with going to the MCG.
Yes, and one of the things that I'm very keen to do as we complete the ground is to make sure that we preserve a fairly distinctive feel to it, and so it just doesn't become on all sides a concrete structure, like a poor version of the MCG. So maintaining the character as a fine suburban ground is important, but it's important that we keep up with modern expectations about amenity, everything from the toilet facilities to the concourses, and not having view lines obstructed and all the safety issues observed. But we do very much plan on preserving some of the local feel, which is so important.
Terrific. Now, we've changed from Skill Stadium to Simon Stadium. I think it's pronounced Simons, isn't it?
Simmons.
Simmons, is it? Thank you. What is Simmons, then? Who are the sponsors?
Simmons are a housing builder and developer who are active in our region, and they've been a sponsor of our club for a long time, and this year they've stepped up to another level with the stadium sponsorship. So we're very grateful to them. These are tough times in the world, as you know, so our sponsors are really important to us. We're grateful to them, and so they're very important to us.
Okay, and how long have they signed up for?
I'm not absolutely sure. It's at least 3 years. Might be longer than that, but off the top of my head, I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Now let's go to the players themselves, the team themselves. It's going to be a little bit different. We've got a different captain. We've got Joel Selwood, who's still only 22 and was there. His first year was our first premiership, of the modern era in 2007. So he's got a remarkable track record for one his age, hasn't he?
He has indeed. And obviously the players that he plays with regard him as someone with natural leadership ability. Their views were very much taken into account in his selection, and so but he's one of a team. He's got some very good people with him in the player leadership group, and even beyond that, some of the older players who aren't in the leadership group are still very influential. I mean, one of the things that we're hugely blessed with is having one of the newspaper reporters described it as a Cox plate field of leadership candidates.
That's
a very good description.
I think we have, and Jimmy Bartel has been named as vice captain. I actually thought that he always avoided any such position, but he must have been persuaded in the end.
Well, Jimmy's really important, and he's an important part of that leadership group, but the other guys there, like Joel Corey and Corey Enright and Harry Taylor and James Kelly and all the guys like that share the load and will be very supportive of Joel as he gets into this new role.
Now, Colin, you as president, you've been so far what I would call a low-profile president. I'm sure that's your choice. I noticed on grand final day the cameras kept cutting to shots of Eddie Maguire. We didn't see any of Colin Carter.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to say I think the characteristic of the club is people don't seek a lot of limelight for themselves, and that's true of our wonderful player group and certainly true of the executive group. And so I think my style, which is to try to contribute but not necessarily be seen too much for it. That's appropriate for the board, I think, in any case, and it's consistent with the culture of the club, and that's one of the reasons the club's successful, I believe.
Well, you must have had a pretty ripper of a first year as president.
Yes, I have, and my kids told me that I ought to just take a pill and go, because it doesn't get better than this, which it certainly doesn't. They're a pleasure to work with. I mean, we have our challenges, and we're not, but we're not blind to that. And we've got some very, very good people in place throughout the organisation. And I'm sure we'll still be formidable this year, even though the system is designed to push us down.
And we've still got our previous and very successful president, Frank Costa, active in the club as patron.
He is, and Frank's a good friend of mine. One of Frank's characteristics, which is one that I share, is that I'm not threatened by having good people around me, and so Frank's got a lot of enthusiasm and can make a contribution, particularly, and Frank's been very helpful on the with his relationships around the fundraising stuff, so I'm very encouraging of Frank to stay involved in that, and Frank doesn't in any way try to intrude on the way in which we're trying to lead the club at the moment, so it's a really good relationship, and that's how it should be. It seems to me to be very wasteful in organisations when good people drive each other out because they can't share the space.
Yeah. Now, can you tell me how the captain and vice-captain and leadership group, for that matter, are chosen? I mean, is it an appointment or is it a vote?
Well, it's a combination of the two. The players are definitely polled on it and provide their views about which players, in their view, conform to the leadership the values requirements of the club, and their views are taken into account, very much into account, but the football department, the coaching staff would have some input into that as well, particularly into the selection of captain, because the captain has roles beyond just the playing group, has wider roles around the club. But you'd be pretty safe to say that they wouldn't be making an appointment which was inconsistent with what the players' judgment was, but it's confirmed and by the football people, and actually technically it comes to the board. So the board actually makes the final decision, but it would be a pretty brave board to say that everybody else got it wrong. So that doesn't happen either. So our pleasure as a board was to confirm the recommendation that came from the organisation.
Can I infer from that that the coach probably has more input into the appointment of captain than any other single individual?
I don't think you can infer that from what I've said, but it, I think you'd have to say that the coaching group would have a say. I mean, again, I think if the players were wanting to put a name up of someone who the coaches felt wasn't up to it or wasn't the right person, I think you'd find the coaches would have... My guess would be the coaches would have some significant engagement with the player group. But Tom Harley and then Cameron Ling and Joel Selwood, I think you'll find that that hasn't happened. I mean, they're very good reflection, a very good judgment on behalf of the players and the coaching group.
Okay, that brings me to the matter of the coach himself, Chris Scott. Like you, about to embark on his second year. He, as coach of the Cats, now, I would think it would be fairly natural that he came in with a premiership team on his hands, and he would have been very careful in his first year not to rock the boat. He'd be very foolish to, as he often said. But now, he has notched up a premiership in his first year. He can put his stamp, his own personal stamp, on the club, the playing performance, the style of playing and everything, much, much more confidently this year. I would have thought that would be a natural development.
Well, Chris is a very capable person, and I think Chris has already put a huge stamp on the place, because, in fact, what happens in most organisations is almost the opposite to what you said. New people, new leaders, when they arrive, often feel the need, the compulsion to throw the furniture around and put their own people in and sack everybody and move older players on and things like that, and there's no doubt that we were thought to be on the slide, so in a sense he would have had the license to have thrown his weight around, but he was smart enough not to do that. He made it very clear that things had to change, but equally the player leadership group, the older players, I think I give them a lot of credit, because they realised a few things had to change as well, and so you had this, I think, quite remarkable relationship developed pretty quickly between a new coach and some players who were almost the same age as Chris.
Yeah.
Those players could have made life very tough for Chris, and they didn't, and equally Chris could have thrown his weight around, and he did not do that either. He undoubtedly had an impact on that, modifying the game plan of the team, but the players understood what he was doing and embraced it, and I think it's a great credit to all of them that they showed huge maturity and wisdom on how they went about this, and you don't often see that in organisations.
Colin, I'm not sure about this. Were you one of those who chose Chris Scott as coach?
I was on the committee, but I was always very clear that I was not there to judge the person's capacity to see a football game unfolding in front of them and things like that. I was very interested in the process, to make sure that the process looked as if it was going to uncover the right person, and I guess also because of my background, I'm particularly interested in the way in which people think about leadership and the way in which you get the best out of people. And, but it was Stephen Hocking and Neil Barham and Brian Cook are the ones who deserve all the credit for what I think was an inspired decision. And I was there as a passenger and enjoyed every minute of it.
Okay. What about Mark Thompson, our former coach? Is the atmosphere between the Geelong Football Club and Mark Thompson still a little bit fragile?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that anything much has happened, so I don't know that therefore you can call it fragile. We've both moved on, and I suspect that both sides are happy that they have moved on. But I know Mark's been in contact with some of the people around the club at various social functions and things like that, and we certainly wish him well. I guess the our only regrets is I don't think the way it happened was the way in which we would aspire as a club for these things to happen. But in terms of Mark moving on and having made a huge contribution to our club and probably realising the tank was getting empty, we're very grateful to him and thankful to him. And so I'd hope at some stage that those slight fractured relationships are well and truly mended. But I think we're all happily busy doing what we're doing at the moment.
Well, it's a great pity. I won't harp on this matter, but I'll just say it's a great pity because he actually did a hell of a lot for the club, and he broke that drought, and he did a lot for the players personally. And as you say, it was unfortunate how he departed the club, which I think was his own doing, and he made mistakes there. But we do owe him a lot.
We do, and we all make mistakes. And I think one of the things that I'm aware of in people have different assumptions about the way things can happen. I mean, I know in many of the football clubs and many organisations, as soon as you indicate you want to go somewhere else, people regard you with suspicion or as a bit of a traitor. And we don't deal with things that way. I mean, if you wanted proof of that, when people from our organisation leave to go somewhere else, if it's a way in which their careers are enhanced, then we're happy to endorse that. So I think, but other clubs almost show people the door and show them out. So I remember one of the coaches at another club said, if anybody wants to leave our club to go somewhere else, they should finish up that day. Well, we don't have that view, but I think Mark might have got a bit confused around that stuff, but yeah, it's a bit disappointing, but it doesn't gainsay at all the huge contribution he made to our club, and we'll always be very grateful for that.
Just finally today, I want to make one prediction, Colin Carter. I believe that if something that will emerge this year will be that Daniel Menzel is going to be one of the great stars of the current game.
Yes, I think that's true, but I think there might be a few others in there as well. But he was certainly showing huge ability, and when he was struck down with that knee injury,
yeah,
year, quite tragic. But he's mending very well, I understand, and
yeah,
like you, I think we're very excited by what we're going to see from him.
All right, Colin, I'd like to wish you all the best in your second year as president of the Geelong Football Club, and thanks for coming on the program.
We're trying to stay under the radar, Doug, just so. we're looking forward to a good year.
Okay, Colin. See you later.
Thanks very much.
Colin Carter, president of the Cats.